Welcome back, everyone, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast, or EPEEP for short. I am one of your hosts. I am good old Wrestling Chris G from Sports Entertainment Breakdown. I almost forgot my name. And on the other line with me today, he's not the short one of the bunch. He's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie man, how you doing?
I'm sitting there. I'm going, he's going to forget his name. He's forgotten. He's panicking.
It's been a long night. It's been a long night.
Like, oh my God. He's going to, because I thought I knew where you were going to go. And I was like, well, he wouldn't hear this for a while. So it's not like he would call us out on it tomorrow.
Oh man, it's been a long night. We're doing a twofer this week.
We're on the second half. We're on the second half of a doubleheader. How far back behind the curtain do you want to go?
Well, we just finished the Squirtle episode.
Well, I know, but yeah. Like, should we mention that we're only doing one, you know, the week after this, because we actually have an actual two-parter coming down the road?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, our schedule's kind of out there. I mean, we're doing these two this week. Next week, we're only going to do one episode. And people are like, how are you only doing one next week? Well, trust me, we have way more than enough episodes in the can for us to take a relax on a 1 week.
Yeah, we're starting. I mean, I don't want to sound like cocky or anything, but like,
we're getting a groove.
Yeah, we're finding a groove. And I mean, it's not, you know, when you start a show from scratch, and you know, we've started a handful, you know, sometimes you have a great idea and you kind of get in the weeds on it a little bit and you're like, this might not have as much staying power as you think. So, you know, recording episodes kind of becomes a bit of a, I won't say a chore, but it's not like, you know, oh boy, I can't wait to, you know. And I was a little, I'm not going to, I mean, we're far enough into this that I can be pretty confident in saying it because I've kind of come out the other side. I wasn't 100% committed because you're like, we should do this. I was like, all right, the episodes are accessible enough. Like, I can find them. Like, that's not an issue. And it's fun to sit here and watch them. But I was like, how am I going to feel when I'm sitting here
recording?
And I've essentially got, you know, I've got, you know, the episode playing on my phone and I'm doing some other stuff on the on another screen. And I look forward to getting on these episodes.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I watch like this these. Because I don't take notes. I thought I might when we started. I was like, I'm going to have notes. But I'm like, I don't want a 20-minute episode to take an hour. So I'm like, I'm gonna make mental notes of what I'm watching. And I'm going to hopefully be able to. And that's kind of why I'm playing the episode on a second screen. So if something pops up when I'm kind of playing, like if you're making a point, I can go, oh, you know, this happened. But I look forward to talking about these episodes because stuff I didn't catch on the first go around, you know, however many years ago comes up and I've got fresh eyes and, you know, you bring something. So, I mean, it's exciting to get out here and do these.
It's different. And, I mean, and don't get me wrong. I love, and it's always going to be my first love. I love doing the wrestling podcast because we don't know what we're getting into every single weekend. I guess you can kind of say that about Pokemon as well, but we've already watched these as kids and it's so much fun finding like all the like little jokes that they put into the episodes or stuff that we didn't realize as kids. And we watch it back as adults and we're like, whoa. And it's just, it's so much fun to actually talk about this. And with Pokemon, you can record a shit ton of episodes and it's always going to be fresh. Like, you can listen to these episodes that we're doing right now a year from now, and it's still going to be relevant.
Yeah, because, you know, we're far enough back that it's not like, oh, you know, we've got to take a step back. We've got to wait for some more episodes to get out there. Like, we're far enough back, and there's enough iterations that we've got to get through. You know, I mean,
it's going to be some years.
I mean, we'll never catch up unless they come out like next year and say this is the final iteration of Pokemon. And at that point, we just have an end goal. It would still take years and years and years to catch up to.
Yes.
But it's, you know. Yeah,
it's especially not the way that they're doing Pokemon now. Like, now they're dropping like 10 to 12 episodes in a batch on Netflix, because Netflix now owns Pokemon with right. Pokemon Journeys. And they're just dropping episodes like crazy. They're dropping them like flies. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, we're never going to catch up to these episodes. It's just, it's not physically possible.
Well, it's not. And that's fine. You know, it's like, we watch wrestling on a weekly.
Yes.
So, you know, unless we were to do a retro show, I mean, we're current.
You know, we're completely caught up, and there's no going back, because I'm not Brian Alvarez. I'm not going back and watching retro Raws. And I just don't have enough time.
No, there's not an extra, you know, 1 to 2 to then eventually 3 hours in the day to go back and rewatch. What we've done is in the rear view.
Yeah, and I know this is not the podcast, but can you believe Brian Alvarez is actually going back and reviewing old SmackDown episodes along with old Thunder WCW episodes now?
Oh, he's doing Thunder. He's going to have to rewrite the book.
That's his current thing right now, because he said he is not going to do TNA. So they're doing Thunder.
No, he's got enough of those TNA reviews that he did on the live show. And they reviewed Impact as it was happening.
Yeah.
You know, when it was TNA. So, he'd be going back on himself.
So it's a good thing that he's not doing any of that. But okay, but that's neither here nor there. This is the Pokemon podcast.
Right.
So what we like to do at the beginning of every single Pokemon podcast that we do is we like to go back. Oh, actually, I didn't even give the name of the episode.
You did.
We're doing episode 13, which is titled Mystery at the Lighthouse, or as it's translated in Japanese, Misaki's Lighthouse. And it aired June 24th, 1997, or here in the States, it aired September 24th, 1998. And we like to go back on the U.S. date, unless something very, very bad happened on the U.S. date, then we go to the Japanese date.
Right.
And we like to give historical events that have happened on this date in American history. So, Doug, you have chosen off air to go first this week. So go ahead and give us what you have that happened on this date on September 24th.
So on this date, way back in 1927, the Toronto St. Patrick's become the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Ooh. Okay.
Who they have been, obviously, as of recording, you know, obviously. So a brief, very brief history on the Maple Leafs. They're what you call an original six franchise, which means they were among the six founding members of the National Hockey League. They have won 13 Stanley Cups. However, the last one of those was back in 1966. So it's been a minute.
I was about to say, it's been some time.
I think now they might have the longest drought period, now that obviously the Red Sox and White Sox and Cubs and Cleveland Cavaliers and a couple other teams have won championships, seem to consistently have good teams that kind of seemed of late to kind of get to a point and kind of hit a wall. Can't really speak on too much about this without completely just reading Wikipedia, because obviously as much as I follow a majority of sport, I mean, some stuff is in my blind spot. And if you're in another country, I'm going to have it, even though I see you on SportsCenter on the regular, you know. So that was just something that jumped out on the old date page. And I was like, I could run with this for a couple minutes.
Okay. Well, thank you for that historical moment, Doug. For me, mine is a little bit more current. So on this date, back in 2007, the comedy we all love, at least most of us. I mean, if you don't like it, I don't know what's wrong with you. But The Big Bang Theory on CBS made its debut back in 2007. And boy, this is my shit. I love that show. I've seen every single episode up and down at least twice.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone through the series. I can guarantee you I've only seen a couple episodes once, mostly the most recent ones, because I was pretty much watching those live. A couple years ago, I went back on a summer, you know, before the, you know, on a regular year, I went back in the summer and kind of did a rewatch to kind of catch myself up, because there was a gap somewhere in the middle. So I caught myself up. So I got to a point with the last couple seasons, I was watching them as they came out on CBS. And yeah, we just last year had the last season.
So yeah, and it was a doozy. These actors got paid basically fuck you money to do that final season.
Yeah, they don't have to work anymore, and I know a handful of them
still are,
and you know you can't just turn it off. But
I mean, hey, Kaylee Cuoco, I can never say her name right. Kaylee Cuoco.
Cloco, I think.
It's Cuoco. Cuoco. Cuoco.
Yeah, oh. I don't know.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about if you watch the show. But she's gone on to do a few more things, and one of them is kind of my favorite. Like she's the Harley Quinn of the animated series Harley.
Yeah,
that's really my girl.
Really hope that gets renewed.
It should.
Well, they've kind of been doing some juggling between DC Universe and HBO Max.
Oh, don't tell me HBO Max is about to buy out DC.
Well, no, they have.
Oh,
well, I don't. I mean, HBO Max absorbed DC Universe, basically.
Really?
Okay. So I don't know, because I know Doom Patrol started out on DC Universe, but then when they came back for season two, they had the little bug at the beginning. It said HBO Max original. I thought, bullshit. I know that went over, and I haven't looked it up recently, but I don't know if that's getting renewed. If Harley Quinn got renewed, I mean, I could be saying it and turns out it got renewed like 3 weeks ago, but I don't know that without
Googling it,
doing a quick Google.
So, but yeah, that is my historical moment. It holds a place in my heart because I love that show, and I'll still to this day watch episodes if I'm up late at night and it just happens to be on.
It's on like 27 times a day.
I know. So they got syndicated money. They got all of that. So I mean they like you said, they don't have to work at all anymore. So. But all right, so right before we get into this episode, the who's that Pokemon of this episode is good old Krabby. Krabby makes his first appearance in this episode and makes kind of a funny appearance. And we're actually going to get right into Krabby in just a moment as we're starting this episode. So, Doug, are you ready to start Mystery at the Lighthouse?
I certainly am.
All right. So we start this episode just like any other episode where they're lost again.
And the freaking narrator calls them out on it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, a familiar scene.
And Ash goes, well, we're somewhere. And Brock
we're
goes, well,
somewhere.
Brock literally says, well, anywhere is somewhere. And Missy's like, Ash, are we lost again? And Pikachu's normally Pikachu's behind Ash, but Pikachu's just tired and has had it. Like, Pikachu's in the far back now. Like, he's not even worried about Pikachu. He's not worried about anything right now. Like, haven't you noticed that Pikachu's gotten kidnapped? Like, what episode are we on? At least 11 times so far.
Very, very much a fallback plot point.
And they kind of peel the curtain back a little bit too, because as they're saying that they're lost, we get a close-up shot of Pikachu, and Pikachu just stops and puts his arms up in the air going, yeah, this is my life. There's 2 billion trainers in the road, and I got this one.
I got it.
But then we get a recap with the narrator, and the narrator is going over all these badges. We actually get a close-up shot of a bunch of different types of badges, some that we don't even get in the Indigo League, which I don't even recognize the blue diamond one with the with the orange triangles in it. I don't even recognize that badge.
Yeah, me either, but it's okay because Ash will get there in 15 years.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they're basically just flashing all the badges that Gary's won so far, and here's Ash with only 2 badges.
That Misty rightfully points out that he only, and I, you know, I'll call her into question a little bit, because she says, you know, you only got those because Brock and my sister felt sorry for you. And like I say, Brock's one I'll call, you know, pity on, but he kind of earned the Cascade badge.
Yeah, and we'll keep going back to it. He was on the verge of beating Misty because he still had a Pokemon to call back out, which would have fucked up her Pokemon.
Right.
But Ash is sitting there boasting about these badges. This little boy had enough nerve to, as they're lost in a forest, like Brock and Misty don't already know, he stops, turns around, opens up his jacket, and it just goes, impressive, huh? Like, really?
Sitting there, I'm like, boy, I'm going to stick those badges somewhere you don't like them.
I know. And in this episode is going to be very, very easy. And you can kind of tell that in this episode, they were stretching a lot. Because after we have that scene of talking about the badges, what's the next scene, Doug?
We talk have a about scene. His Pokemon.
Yes. He now has 6 Pokemon. And
we do a roll call.
Yeah. The narrator goes, hey, Ash, what's the name of all 6 of your Pokemon? And Ash actually talks to the narrator. He goes, I have Charmander. I have Squirtle. I have Bulbasaur. I have Butterfree, Pidgeotto, and Pikachu.
I was like, oh, so you didn't want to use new, you didn't want to get new footage.
But and at the end of it, he goes, and I caught every last one of them. And Misty and Brock basically call him on his bullshit.
Remember, if our listeners will be so kind to remember what I said last week about this last week's episode ending with Misty having a heart attack.
Yes,
Misty is still having that heart attack.
because she's like, you did not catch these Pokemon. These Pokemon followed you.
Which, again, I hate to keep cutting Misty off at the knee. He caught Caterpie.
He did.
He caught Caterpie.
He caught fucking Pidgeotto.
He caught Pidgeotto.
Yes.
And he was given Pikachu, so that one shouldn't count. He battled Bulbasaur.
He did.
Now, I think what? Bulbasaur was going to go with him regardless, but he battled Bulbasaur.
Yes.
He saved Charmander's life.
Yeah, Charmander was about to die.
So the only... And he saved Squirtle's life, for all we know.
Yeah.
So, maybe I've turned... I just turned a corner on live podcast.
Well, okay, he didn't save Squirtle, because Squirtle had a job as being a firefighter, but Squirtle was like, I don't want that life.
The bombs. Remember?
Oh, true. He saved Squirtle's life and earned Squirtle's trust. Okay, yes.
Yeah, so...
So, yeah, I mean...
Misty can
all these Pokemon have a connection. All these Pokemon have a connection with Ash, which is why they decided to follow him. Yeah. And
another check mark in Ash's corner, which doesn't happen much, he was willing to give Charmander to Brock, which is a douchey thing to say, but he said, hey, Brock, I think you should have Charmander.
Yeah, and Brock was just like, you know, Charmander seems a little bit more attached to you, so go ahead and take Charmander.
So, yeah, I think Misty was wrong here.
Yeah, now that we're putting two and two together, yeah. And haven't we established, or maybe we haven't established it yet, but these Pokemon can hear you through the Pokeball. They must think Misty is a bitch. Like, these Pokemon, if I'm in that Pokeball, I'm like, wait a minute. Hey, were you not there?
Well, Butterfree probably already doesn't like her because she was talking all kinds of shit on him when he was a Caterpie.
And she didn't start liking Caterpie until Caterpie was a freaking Butterfree.
Right.
And now Butterfree looks so amazing, and
Butterfree's
looks
beautiful,
nice.
And he's not a bug technically, and even though he still kind of is, hypocrite.
Yeah, what's the name of that Pokemon? Hold on, I know. This is our way of kind of stretching the episode because we're kind of this episode is going to be very cut and dry.
Yeah, no
but,
shit.
On the last season of Pokemon that I watched, I kid you not, Doug, Misty has a bug Pokemon.
So she is a hypocrite.
Yes. Well, actually, no. Never mind. Not Misty. If that was May. May has the bug Pokemon, but May is scared of bug Pokemon as well.
So. I mean, well. Fair enough.
And they changed Misty's outfit because Misty made an appearance in the last episode that I just watched.
You gotta freshen it up every couple of years, you know.
Yeah. She looks better. So
Ash is completely just absolutely dejected here. He's like, you're always picking on me and shit. And he's down for like 5 seconds and he pops back up. He's like, I'm going to be a Pokemon. He goes running.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know what, Doug? These Pokemon, there's a specific scene. I have a problem with this. Uh-oh. God damn it. And this is just what we just talked about. So it's in this episode that we find out the Pokemon can hear because Misty basically tells Ash, you're lucky that your Pokemon followed you. And then we get a close-up shot of all six of his Pokemon, and they all nod their head and go, yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Which is...
Like, they're agreeing with Misty? Like, I'd be mad if I was these Pokemon.
Like, listen here, mother. Like, two of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for this guy. At least two of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that kid in the cap.
Exactly.
But I guess it's the fashionable thing to do. Let's all pile on Ash.
So it's at
even
this
though he
point...
has deserved it and will deserve it again.
Oh, yeah. But it's at this point, yeah, as you said, he gets knocked down, but then he gets back up and says, I'm going to be the best Pokemon trainer. And then we get the title of the episode.
Right. And then he finds a beach, and he's simultaneously excited and disappointed, because he's like, this is a nice beach, but I wanted a Pokemon. And conveniently, as if it's in a TV show or something, little Krabby goes scuttling by.
And, of course, we have the trend of, what's that Pokemon?
Now, I legitimately don't think he knew what that was. I mean, I'll give him a pass on this one.
And to be, going forward outside of the start of Pokemon, he probably doesn't know what the rest of these Pokemon are. But yeah, here comes little old Krabby, and this is a ballsy Krabby.
Well, in a way, but again, you know, this is another tick in the they can understand you. I mean, this one's not in a Pokeball, obviously, but they can understand him because he's like, oh, this is a shrimpy Krabby, and Krabby gets pissed.
And it starts bubbling at the mouth.
And fucking tries to take off his freaking finger. And
yeah, because he tells Krabby, he's like, I didn't mean to insult you, but you're just a cute little, and then clamp.
And then Krabby freaking bows up to him, is like, all right, motherfucker, if you're feeling froggy, we can jump. And then this pissed me off. Like, not like I'm gonna turn the episode off like mad, but this made me mad. Because he's like, all right, Misty and Brock don't think I can battle these Pokemon. Don't think I can catch these. I'm going to show him. I'm going to battle these Pokemon. And he's got a Pokeball, right? So I'm thinking, okay, who's he going to? Because I don't remember, you know, I have the memory of a goldfish. You know, I don't 100% remember, you know, all the details on these shows.
So he's got this, I know exactly where you're going to.
So he's got this Pokeball. And he's like, all right, who's he going to call out? He's got a full roster. He doesn't have Pikachu with him. You know, but he's got, you know, five other choices. You know, maybe Squirtle gets some experience. No, he fucking pulls out a stick and basically jousts with him. Krabby, you know, chops up the stick. And apparently that was enough of a distraction for him to throw this Pokeball and catch him. And he said, I'm going to battle. Like, you fucking poked him with a stick, basically. So this guy, in the span of 13 episodes, has thrown a rock at a Pokemon and has essentially
caught a Pidgeotto by accident.
Caught a Pidgeotto by accident, and now he's poked a Krabby with a stick and caught him.
And then had enough nerve after he caught Krabby to say, good job, Krabby, but not good enough. Or, no, good try, Krabby, but not good enough.
Like, you could have thrown that as small as that Krabby was compared to the Krabby we're going to see here in a couple minutes. He could have thrown Charmander out. Charmander could have given him one quick little ember, you know, and we'd have had barbecued Krabby, and he could have caught him that way. But this motherfucker took him on with a stick. And I understand he's 10, and I understand maybe he's not thinking 100% logically, but he's got five perfectly capable Pokemon, because the other one, basically, he's his best friend, but he battles when he wants to.
I give Ash the benefit of the doubt. Maybe because he doesn't have his backpack with him when he goes to battle this Krabby.
Bullshit. So Pokeballs aren't in the backpack. The Pokeballs are on the belt.
True. Okay. But it's at this moment after he catches this Krabby.
I have a question. Now that I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm not like going to go off on a rant, but I have a legitimate question.
Okay. What's that?
So it's been established since pretty much 5 minutes into the, or maybe 10. I can't remember exactly when he's down at Professor Oak's lab, that Pikachu's got an issue with going into a Pokeball.
Yes.
So Pikachu is free range, even though he's bonded to Ash.
Yes.
Now, in my mind, and this is, and I'm literally just, I didn't think of this earlier and I'm bringing it up. I'm literally like, this is a developing thought. Wouldn't that allow Ash to bend the rules? Because he would technically have another slot on his belt.
Well, technically, Pikachu does have a Pokeball, which he does carry with him.
Oh, shit. Because when they were getting attacked by those Spearow, he was like, Pikachu, you need to go into this. Okay. Yes. So he's essentially just got an empty ball on his belt.
Yes.
And they make pills for that.
So, after he successfully catches Krabby in the Pokeball, he's holding up this Pokeball and he's boasting like Ash boasts. And the Pokeball starts generating a lot of electricity in his hand. And Ash is like, what the fuck is going on here? And the Pokeball literally just shoots up into the air and just vanishes.
And it's gone. And he said, where did Krabby go? You know, like he's going to
fucking run away. He's about to have a heart attack.
And he's like, that's a little Krabby. He's all by himself. And then that's when Brock and Misty conveniently pop up to kick him again.
And Misty's like, don't you know a trainer can only have 6 Pokemon carried with them at a time, which I call bullshit because that's only people that don't have. Okay, I don't get this. I'm confused now, and maybe you can maybe shed some light on me.
But this episode's going to be longer than we thought.
I know. didn't we just have 2 episodes ago with Charmander and his Charmander's old trainer had a sack full of Pokemon that they caught. So is it just trainers that have a Pokedex?
I think they can't?
But Misty doesn't have a Pokedex. Unless maybe she does and she doesn't use it.
But she's also not a trainer. She's a gym leader.
True. Okay. All right, that makes more sense. Okay, thank you.
And I mean, maybe we're stretching the examples of, gym leaders because, according to her sisters, she's the one that walked away or whatever the fuck she said.
Yep.
But she was still able to be in a sanctioned battle that would have gotten Ash a badge. So they can't just willy-nilly be giving out gym leader licenses or whatever the fuck.
Which is also true. All right, this episode got me all sorts of fucked up. Okay. So,
Go ahead.
No, I was about to say, Brock and Misty basically, as you pointed out, basically chop them down at the knee and basically call them out and say, hey, you already have 6 Pokemon and your other Pokemon that you catch get transferred to the place where you got your first Pokemon.
Which, Ash has a flashback to getting killed in Oak's office and goes, oh, he's with Professor Oak.
Oh, no, he's with Professor Oak.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's with Professor. Oh, no. And then he's like, well, we need to call him and make sure he's, that he got him there and he's okay. And and Brock, I don't know if he was pissed or if it's just how it came out, but he's like, well, we're at a beach. We're not exactly close to a phone.
So we got to go find a phone because everybody, this episode took place before there were cell phones.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there. Before you can talk to anyone via wireless communication. So we had to go find a telephone.
And sometimes that just depends on your cell service.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let's go ahead and find out what's next. So at this point, they look up on this big hill and they see a lighthouse. And this lighthouse must have been on some big ass hill because the sun's going down where they are, but by the time they get up to this lighthouse, it is pitch dark.
Yeah. So they must have been on quite the trek.
And Ash even makes the line and goes, "That was further than we thought it was." So, yeah, and this is where I start having a problem with this episode. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they're walking up to this lighthouse, and it's a big-ass stone door. And on the stone door, it has a bunch of legendary Pokemon. Like you see, Entei is not a legendary, but it has Entei. You see Scyther. You see a Gengar. So those are the three Pokemon that you currently see on this door. And they're all Pokemon that Ash has never seen before.
Right.
And then they ring the doorbell to this lighthouse. And this is where the episode kind of falls apart for me, because I'm not going into some strange man's house when I'm 10 years old. But
they need that phone.
They do. So I'll let you tell this next part of the scene, because they ring the doorbell, and then what happens, Doug?
And then, you know, Brock's like, "Hey, you know, we'd like to come in and, you know, use your telephone, and, you know, I'd like to maybe borrow some ingredients so I could cook up some double cheeseburgers for my pals, and I'd be more than happy to cook you up something too." And
Bill, I mean, we find out his name is Bill, but Bill's like, "I'll let you in if you can cook something that's not tofu." And Brock's like, "Yeah, I can do that.
Like, I can cook without tofu." And he, perfect. My cook's been on vacation, and I had to fend for myself. And then, you know, they let him in.
Wait a minute. Hold up. I have a problem with this. I found an Easter egg, Doug.
Okay.
Scroll back your video to when the door is opening. There is a picture of Mewtwo on the door.
Uh-huh.
Mewtwo has not been built yet, and nobody knows who Mewtwo is.
Well, I mean, these episodes weren't made to be fucking paused.
Yeah, for real. I mean, that's just an Easter egg. I just happened, as the door is opening, I just caught that right now. That's a fucking Mewtwo. And it's the way that he looks inside of Red and Blue, versions Red and Blue.
Well, I mean, that's what's out. I mean,
true. But all right. At this point, the doors open to this massive lighthouse, and it is pitch dark inside of this lighthouse.
Yeah, not a candle or nothing. And you know, he's like,
"I'm sorry."
Ash is like, "We'd like to find your phone." And he's like, "The phone is on your left." And it's a video set up with a bell sprout for a receiver.
Now, at this point, this is another part that bugged me. Okay, you're invited into this lighthouse. You hear somebody talking to you, but they don't greet you at the door. You walk into their house, and then he's telling you it's pitch dark. And he's telling you the phone is to your left. And you still don't see this person. I'm sorry. I mean, shouldn't Brock have a little bit more sense to not want to go into this place?
Well, he's hungry.
True. But, all right. So, at this point, he calls up Professor Oak. And This part is funny as hell. I'll let you go ahead and tell this part, Doug.
So he calls up Professor Oak, and the first thing you see is Oak over a pot. So poor Ash has a mini stroke, And he goes, "You're not eating my crabby, are you?" No. My cook's been on vacation, and I'm fending for myself. And I'm going, I'm fucking losing it. He goes, I got your crabby right here, and it's in this little, it's in a tank or a, that's a bag. That wasn't a tank.
Well, it's not. It's in like a fish tank.
I see.
But he, Professor Oak does make the crack that Ash's crabby wouldn't really feed him anyway.
He said, now, Gary's crabby,
on the other hand, is a little bit more meaty.
That's good eating, you know. So poor Ash just cannot get away from Gary's shadow. You know, I mean, obviously he didn't see him last week when he fucking killed him with the door. But he was there, and then, you know, he's caught a crabby, and he's caught more Pokemon.
I do love Krabby. How both the Krabbies, like Gary's Krabby, looks like a freaking Kingler compared to his Krabby. Like, right? They make Ash's Krabby look so small and dinky.
So, right.
And Ash is, I love, I'm on a still picture. I love how they put, how Professor Oak put a photo of Ash on the fish tank that's his crabby. Just, I'm sorry, I just love that. This is Ash.
Because he'd confuse him otherwise.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, poor Ash is just dejected, you know, been kicked again, and hangs up the phone, and they turn around and they see glowing eyes at the top of a staircase,
which again I would turn away from this place.
Yeah, but they're hungry. Hunger can make you do a lot of dumb things.
Yeah, but the glowing eyes that they see on top of this staircase as they walk closer is none other than a full-grown human-sized Kabuto that's talking like a Meowth.
Yes, and it's also extinct.
Yes. And it's at this point that we get the Who's That Pokemon, which was Krabby, as we stated. And we get, when we come back, We're outside, and Jesse, James, and Meowth are looking up at this lighthouse.
Yes.
And I'm sorry.
No, I don't remember. I was just agreeing with you.
So they're looking at the lighthouse, and they're basically saying there must be a ton of mysterious Pokemon that are inside, and we should go over there and capture all of those Pokemon, all of those legendary Pokemon over at that lighthouse.
But then, what does Meowth make some crack about them being bad guys, so they can't just walk through the front door?
They have to sneak up to the lighthouse, and Jesse is looking at a main road going over to the lighthouse. But now Meowth is going to make them climb up the wrong side of the hill to get inside, to break inside of this lighthouse. Wouldn't you just walk up to it and just go around the corner and try to break in instead of having to climb?
I sure would.
I'm sorry, but that at this point, I would have just thrown Meowth off the hill and just said, "You climb it, and then we'll meet you over there."
Well, Meowth wouldn't have a problem because, you know, cat.
Yeah, cat. Climb.
But yeah, and then we get a slight tweak on the theme song, and then we're back in the lighthouse as of this point, a talking Kabuto.
And the trio, and Brock's about to lose his shit. He's like, "That's a talking Kabuto." those are extinct. And Bill's like, no, I'm not a Pokemon. My name, or this is a costume. I just can't reach the button. The button is basically on my butt. I need you to press it for me so I can get out of this suit.
Misty's like, no, were you at a costume party? He's like, no, this is a way for me to get inside the Pokemon's mind. So they hit the button.
And the air falls out of this thing and the suit falls apart. And here's good old green-haired Bill.
Good old Bill.
Who doesn't make another appearance in the Pokemon series at all. Like, we have all these... Yeah, another one. He's one that doesn't come back either, and it kind of really disappoints me. But I mean, we get more callbacks like later on as we go, but he's one that doesn't return. Like they don't like the returning season one characters for some reason, besides Richie from the Pokemon League, because he comes back.
Right. And then, you know, we get kind of some Bill explanation. You know, he's a Pokemon researcher. You know, he talks about how there's 150 plus known Pokemon in this universe. And we got like this big wall. And somehow Ash's Pokemon are conveniently marked off. It's almost like they knew he was going to show up.
Yeah. I get this, and I get the timing that the show came out. But in different regions of the Pokemon universe, like now, you have different Pokemon in these regions. Do the people that just live in the Indigo place just think that just those Pokemon are all around the world, and that these trainers, like, have they not seen any extra Pokemon on like Pokemon League fights or anything?
Well, I mean, the internet's not as big as it is, so it's not like you can hop on and you can see a Pokemon from another side of the world, like, you know, with a snap of your fingers.
True. This is before. So maybe this happened, and before the technology got a little better, did they finally find out about different types of Pokemon?
I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Because he says 150 plus, and at this point, I mean, you have, you don't have Mewtwo, even though Mewtwo's on his door. Nobody knows what Mewtwo is. Nobody still to this day in Pokemon knows what Mewtwo is, because Mewtwo wipes everybody's mind in the movie.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean I get they've covered their tracks now, but back then they really were kind of, no, you're fine. They were kind of sloppy with covering their tracks.
This is the kind of shit that keeps you up at night.
It really does. You can tell I've thought long and hard about this.
Yeah. Pardon me.
So.
But yeah. But
yeah, he talks about how he's lucky to be a Pokemon trainer, and that he's there to find a mysterious Pokemon that lives in the sea.
And that's when he goes out. Well, we get a quick shot of Team Rocket climbing up the cliff.
Like idiots.
Like idiots. But then we're back to what matters. They're out on the ledge of this. Well, not the ledge, but like the balcony. The balcony, I guess, of this lighthouse. And, you know, Bill's like, if I play this sound that I captured a while back,
I'm hoping to meet this Pokemon and become friends with him.
And he plays the sound, and the lights change on the lighthouse, and he gets a response back. And it's just really nice melody that obviously we can't play because of copyright. But Brock and Misty have a little bit of a waltz. Pikachu's kind of swaying. And you actually see this mysterious Pokemon rise out of the mist.
And start walking towards the lighthouse.
Yeah, it's approaching. And Bill's just on fucking goddamn cloud nine. And, you know.
And so people that are watching this episode, so people know what this Pokemon is. Even though they don't draw in the color and you don't see the Pokemon, it's a Dragonite. But what's weird about this Dragonite as further, we're going to see other Dragonite within this series. This Dragonite is like 10 times the size of any other Dragonite that I have seen in the series. Like, yes. they make this Dragonite look like freaking Godzilla.
And that's kind of the vibes I got, but I think, you know, you can kind of get away with that when it's the first time you're seeing it and you're not really seeing it, you know, proper. And, you know, I think they're kind of throwing a little bit of a wink to people that have been playing the games up to this point.
Can you name this Pokemon?
They're like, you know. So, you know, it's kind of this nice moment. And then Team Rocket are prepared. They see it and they're like, well, this is a goddamn whale. If we catch this, we're set forever. And, you know, they're readying their rocket launchers as they're fucking dangling off the cliff.
Oh, man. And do they have a doozy with this? They freaking shoot the Dragonite.
And I will say, and this might only happen a handful of times, James speaks up and he's like, do we always have to be wrecking shit?
And Jesse is basic. I mean, Jesse is basically like, we're bad guys.
He's like, so. I know, but this is cruel even for me. But he's spineless, so he goes along with it. Like, he's saying, this is cruel even for me, as he goes, bang, you know? So it's like, pick a lane, dude. You know, they fire shots.
And they hold back nothing on these shots, too, because when they shoot these rocket launchers and it hits Dragonite, that thing goes boom. Like, it's a freaking explosion, and Dragonite's not having any of it.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell it hits them, but, like, all it does is anger up the water, anger up Dragonite. I mean, Dragonite smashes the freaking lighthouse.
Yeah, like, Ash and the gang have to run down the stairs as it's collapsing on top of them.
You know, Dragonite's kicking up waves. You know, Bill's trying to communicate with the Dragonite, which is another tick in the they can understand English box. He's shaking his head like he's got to get out of here because Bill's trying to get him to stay.
And Dragonite's like, no, I don't trust you. I'm leaving. And right before that, Dragonite freaking blasts Team Rocket.
He must kick up like some kind of whirlpool or something, or he hits him with a tail whip or something. I mean, it's not really clear what he does. I've just rewatched that bit like two times, and I can't get a handle on exactly what he does, but he definitely knocks Team Rocket out of the picture.
He hits him with a tail whip.
There it is, tail whip. Okay, I thought maybe he sent a whirlpool their way.
Yeah, he takes his tail and splashes it in the water and wipes them away. And Dragonite just walks away because Dragonite can't trust these humans. Dragonite's got to go back to where Dragonite lives.
Right. So then, you know, we cut to the next day, the next morning, whatever. you know, the customary, we must leave the new friend. Bill's opining about hopefully being able to see Dragonite again one day, or the Pokemon, I guess.
He's going to rebuild that lighthouse and stay there.
And we pan over, and Team Rocket are basically just waking up. So they got knocked, but they just got knocked
over onto the sand.
Yeah.
Is it weird that when they blast off or when they get hit, that they're always together wherever they land?
Well, I mean, it's convenient.
Yeah.
You know, because again, it's a cartoon.
True. I just had that thought right now. I'm like, huh, they always end up together.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, we just had a discussion up top here about, you know, the convenience of how Ash got to where he is, you know. Would it work out that way in the real world?
No.
Maybe, but we don't know that. We know it wouldn't line up perfectly like this every step of the way.
Watch technology in 100 years. Actually, we're actually able to catch pets and put them in a ball and just walk around with them.
In 100 years, we'll be dead.
Well, I know that, but I'm just saying. I said, watch the technology be there. I'm sure we're not far off.
I can't watch that. We'll be dead. That's basically the end of the episode.
They say their nice goodbyes to Bill, and as we stated, he's gonna stay there and hopefully try to see this Pokemon again.
And as they're walking into the sun, I mean, I know that's cliche, but it is what it is. We pan up and we get a nice shot of a cloud that looks exactly like this mysterious Pokemon.
Yes. And I take it that's how Dragonite gets around, because he probably, from what I get out of this shot, is he like gets some clouds and he just flies around and nobody notices him because he's just a big giant cloud traveling to where he needs to travel to.
Yeah, I mean, I would also throw in that perhaps he does most of his traveling at night.
Yeah.
And
then he leaves these clouds behind.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. So that way people that are looking for him can go, huh, that's convenient.
Very convenient. So it is that time of night, Doug. We finally did it. We got through the second episode, and I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit. We just hit 3 hours on this call.
Yeah.
So, goddamn, I'm tired. So, all right. Anything else that you want to add, Doug?
No, I mean, we're in a really good spot where these episodes are right now.
Exciting.
We got another good one coming up tomorrow. Next week. And then we got an actual legitimate honest to goodness two-parter. So yeah, we're getting into a lot of like stuff to chew on.
Oh yeah. And next week's episode is called Electric Shock Showdown, or as it's translated from Japanese, the exact same title, but a little longer. It's called Electric Shock Showdown Kuchiba Gym. So that is next week's episode. And I had to throw
that gym in there.
Yep. So that's next week, where he's battling to get his electric badge. So we'll find out the name of that badge next week. Right. What is it?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I'll have to go back and look it up. But that's next week's episode. So as of right now, go ahead and say goodbye, Doug.
Bye, Doug.
And this is Wrestling Chris G signing out, and I'm going to bed, everybody. And I will see you next week when we review episode 14, Electric Shock Showdown. Have a good night, everybody.